Gigit, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Hester McDonald joins me in the studio. And Hester, it is cold outside. The days are short. So for the first show of the year, we thought we'd focus on indoor plants to brighten up those grey days. You chose orchids. Tell us a little bit more about why you made that choice.
Well, it's partly because there's so many to choose from. It's ridiculous. So they're actually the world's largest group of flowering plants.
Did not know.
No, I know. They've got 30,000 species and at least 120,000 hybrids, which means that a person crossed them. They didn't just naturally occur, which is enormous. So they're generally thought of as tropical plants, but actually they can be found in this huge range of habitats, all the way from the tropical rainforests of Central America, which is kind of where you'd expect to find them, to semi-arid regions like those in Australia, and even temperate regions like Switzerland, Europe.
Ah,
amazing. And they're super adaptable. And they manage to They squeeze their existence into these kind of ecological niches where other plants really struggle. And so they're quite particular about their conditions as a result.
Right. So if they are particular, how on earth do you go about choosing one for the first time? How do you work out what is going to make your orchid thrive?
Yeah, it's a good question. So if we're going to look at indoor orchids rather than ones that you can grow in your garden, which are a whole different kettle of fish, they've got two distinct groups. One are ground-growing or terrestrial orchids, and they generally like quite damp conditions, or there are tree-growing orchids known as epiphytes, and they've really different needs. And if you know what yours is, and it will say on the label, or you've asked the specialist that you bought it from, you can then keep it happy. So things that you might want to ask yourself is, where are you intending to grow it? Can you provide a warm spot or a cool spot? How much light are you planning to give it? How much space do you have? Some of them get quite big. Do you want an easy care orchid? The answer is probably yes. Would you like one that smells? Would you like a fragrant one? Do you want flowers at a particular time of year? Because some of them only flower once a year. And some of them reflower really easily. And so you probably get three flowerings a year. Is that what you'd like from your orchid? And how much do you want to pay? So that question about how much do you want to pay is one that comes up a lot about orchids. So yes, you can get them from DIY centres and garden centres for 30 francs, say, and they're usually an unnamed variety. So it'll just say orchid on it.
It's true.
Which is absolutely fine. And they will do what they say on this. They'll be perfectly okay. If you want something that's a particular colour or is going to behave in a very definite fashion, then you need to go for a named variety. And then you're going to be paying a bit more for it. So the unnamed ones are often micropropagated, so they're propagated from cells, propagated on an industrial scale, which is why you can see them quite so cheaply. The ones that are named tend not to be propagated or created like that. So that's the difference. In store, look for loads of flower buds, loads of fat, plump flower buds. Not too many already in flower, because then you'll have less time with it in flower. Glossy, healthy leaves with no marks on them and healthy, plump roots. You should be able to see the roots, particularly for things like moth orchids. We can look at those in a minute. Avoid anything drooping, no dropping flower buds or yellowing leaves or flowers. They've either been improperly watered, they've got cold, or they're diseased. So avoid those ones.
Avoid.
When you get them home, well, when you're about to take them home, really wrap them up. That too many layers doesn't exist for an orchid, particularly at this time of year. So really wrap them up. Plastic, paper, everything. Get them straight into your car. Like, get onto the bus as quickly as you can.
They don't want to be cold.
They hate changes in temperature. And so when you get home, check the pot's drainage holes are clear, which you could also have sneakily done in the shop as well, and that the plant can stand up in the pot. Sometimes if it's been in a cover pot or a cache pot, as they're called in French, it's actually the cover pot that's been holding it upright. You just need to check that it can stand up by itself. If it's tipping over, the roots are really curling around themselves, put it up into an identical pot of the next size.
Okay, so here's the thing when it comes to repotting. I have noticed when I've purchased an orchid that they come in, first of all, clear pots.
Yes.
And then also that the compost is very different to the compost that I've got at home, which is like a, you know, all-purpose pot plant soil. It's different.
Yeah, absolutely. So orchids mostly, particularly those that are epiphytes, ones that grow in trees, like really free-draining soil. and in the wild would actually anchor themselves onto a tree. And you're trying to recreate those conditions. So it's why you see that the commercial mixes for most orchids are made of just chunks of bark, basically because you want it to be super free-dried. Basically, you want the water just to rinse through to go straight through. So that is what you want. If you're growing terrestrial orchids, they tend to like it a bit damper, so the compost tends to be a bit finer and has fewer big chunks in it.
Okay. Is this like a bonsai tree? Should I be, you know, sticking it in a big bowl of water once every so often?
Do you know it's not a bad idea at all? So I would, to keep your orchid happy, I would wipe the leaves. So the leaves can get dust on them. Even in the cleanest houses, they still get dust on them. So, and given that that's what helps them to photosynthesize and stay happy, wipe them. Water, so it really depends if they like damp or dry conditions. So for those that like damp conditions, water weekly when they're in active growth, and most of them need to dry out over winter, so you can just stop watering completely. For those that need to dry out, the epiphytes, that you can literally take them out of their cover pots. I dump mine in the sink about this time of the year, every other week or so, every other Monday, and I dump them in the seat, put a bit of warm water in with them, sit them for, 10 minutes, and then lift them out and they sit on the draining board.
Give it a bath, basically.
Yeah, give it a bath. They love having a bath. I mean, if that's not practical, which I quite understand it might not be, then you can mist with a hand spray. It's really straightforward. It's generally suggested that you use rainwater. But if you can't collect rainwater, then softened water from the tap is really fine. Just keep an eye on if you start getting a lot of white deposits on the leaves, that's calcium buildup on the leaves. So you really should try and water them with rainwater if you can.
If you can. Okay. And then feeding?
Yeah, during spring and summer for most orchids. And there's loads of proprietary, own label, labelled orchid feeds, and they are perfect for them. And you can either spray them onto the leaves if it's a foliar spray, because you're putting it on the leaves, or you can just put it in with the water that you use to water them. Yeah, they're really easy.
Okay, excellent. Well, coming up, we will take a look at a lot more of your specifics and really good tips about keeping those orchids alive, and particularly even after they've stopped flowering, and then what to do with them during those, well, boring months where they're not doing that beautiful thing that they typically do. We'll take a look at that. Hester, stay with us. This is Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillega Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
We are talking about orchids this week with Hester. So Hester, I need to go beginner level orchid, entry level orchid, please, because honestly, they sound like they need a lot of taking care of. It's a lot of faff, isn't it?
It can be. But I would say if you're going to start growing orchids or give one as a gift to a friend, which is quite common at this time of year, or start with a moth orchid. The Latin name is a Phalaenopsis, which is quite fun to say. They're probably the most common in garden centres, and they're by far the easiest. And I think they're the most satisfying to grow, which is why I've got lots of them, as their flowering cycle is quite short. So you get several flowerings a year. They've typically got large, white, flattish flowers with kind of a pooky bit at the front. They last weeks, the flowers last weeks, and they usually reflower more than once a year. The other colours are deep pink, some greens, some yellows, as well as, if you're lucky, you can get some with stripes on, which are quite fun, and spots. So most of the moth orchids, as we said earlier, they're unnamed hybrids, and it doesn't matter, it's just an orchid. And you might, at the moment, actually get a deal on some of them, half prices, some of the DIY centres, and very reasonable. Some of the other ones in, like, the specialists, like, there's a beautiful one called Lausanne, which has enormous creamy white flowers, or the really very pretty pinky orange coral, which is lovely. Moth orchids like a warm, light room, basically very similar to what people like living in. Minimum of 18 degrees centigrade in winter. And they like being outside in the summer, but they need to be in the shade because otherwise their leaves burn. About 25 degrees suits them really nice. This is one of the ones we talked about last summer that you can put outside into the shade. And that's what I do with mine. As long as you don't have any slugs that love their leaves, then they can stay outside all summer. They're really happy.
So the simple version of this is when they're inside, they like a lot of light and to be warm.
They do.
When they're outside, shady.
Yeah, because otherwise they burn. It's too much for them. They're epiphytic orchids, so they live on trees. So you really water from the top, drains super well. Like we said, put them in a bath and then lift them out again. They'll be super happy. Don't like having wet feet, so you really got to make sure they drain properly. Make sure there's no water in the bottom of their little cover pot if you got them in cover pots. And they're super easy to encourage to reflower. So where the flowering stem has flowered, look down. There's little bumps on the stem, and these are are nodes, which means that that can become a flowering stem. So you just cut it off just above that. Honestly, a pair of clean kitchen scissors will absolutely do the job. You don't need any fancy secateurs for that. And if there's any brown stems, cut them off at the base. And if it doesn't reflower in 6 months, surprise it slightly by moving into a cooler room.
Wild.
Yeah, that's it. And feed it. And I'd say start with one of those. And if you can keep it alive for a year, you can move on to something else.
All right. Number one, moth orchid. Number two, what do you move on to?
I go for a dendrobium. And they're quite common. You can get them in garden centres. You still don't need to go to a specialist for this. They've got slightly thicker stems than moth orchids and loads of flowers. Loads and loads and loads of flowers. All the way up and down the stem, and they all flower at once. They are stunning. Loads of colours, whites, pinks, greens, and some very pretty golds as well. They flower once a year, usually in sort of late spring, early summertime. They prefer a cooler situation, under 20 degrees centigrade in summer, and they need a cool winter break in order to flower the following year. So don't be afraid to move them into an even cooler room, like down to 10 degrees.
All right.
So if you've got an unheated room in your house, stick them in there for the winter. They'll like it.
I love that this is just the same. It's the same species of plant, but it's completely different care.
Yeah, well, it's the same family of plants. Right. It's a different species. Ah. So it's an orchid, but it's a different species of dendrobium. They look really similar in terms of the colour of the flowers, but the flower structure is different and they flower in a different fashion. So I would treat them like moth orchids because they're another epiphyte. They're really lovely. And so they need to dry out between waterings. They can get quite big. This is where I said, you know, think about how much space you've got. They're 60 centimetres tall, easily 25 centimetres across for the whole plant. And there are also warm growing dendrobiums, but we're not going to talk about them because they're a bit fiddly. Your specialist will tell you.
They are going to get more and more complicated. But there are two different types of orchids that you mentioned. The first two
are epiphytes, so they grow on trees and they like to dry out, really dry out between waterings. And the other ones are terrestrial orchids.
Okay, so what about terrestrial orchids for beginners? Are there any simple ones?
There is, really is one. It's called a Pleione, which is a lovely, it sounds like it's a very pretty girl's name, Pleione formosana. They're really little. They're about 15 centimetres tall, very pretty, and ideal if you don't have much space because they really are ideal for that. They like damp conditions, so water weekly in summer, and like all of the terrestrial orchids, they need a winter rest, so you can actually stop watering over the winter, and you'll know it needs a winter rest because it drops its leaves. It will tell you, okay, I'm done now, I'm having a little sleep, thanks very much.
Done, but don't throw it out.
No, don't throw it away.
I may have made that mistake in the past. Don't tell Hester. These ones are the easy ones, and already at the easy end of the scale, they feel a little complex.
They are a little complex. I have to say, moth orchids are easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Right.
Treat them mean. You heard it here. Keep them keen.
But why do people then blend orchids, make these hybrid votes? And why do we get more complex? How have they even survived if they're more complex than this?
Back to their ecological niches.
Right.
So they occupy in the where they live a very specific space. And we're trying to reproduce that space because we've taken them out of their native environment, and which is a very specific native environment. Mm. And we're trying to make that in our superheated houses.
So some of those more complex varieties, though, they have their advantages as well. Are they particularly beautiful?
Well, some of them are really gorgeous. And if you go to any of the orchid shows or you join an orchid society or you go to an orchid specialist, you will be blown away. They are breathtakingly lovely. And I can see why the moths that pollinate them, and some of them are pollinated by birds and things as well, or bats. I can see why they are so specialised. They're just lovely. They don't look real.
Yeah.
That's why I love them.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about something that is more challenging to
So I
make.
Would look at a slipper orchid called a Paphiopedilum. They look super exotic, but they're actually really easy to grow. They're terrestrial orchids, unlike moth orchids or dendrobiums. They like to have damp soil. They like warm rooms, about 18 degrees in the centre, and a shady but warm spot in the summer as the leaves can burn. They often are grown in bathrooms really successfully because they like the humidity. Yeah, exactly. Or I have a friend who grows hers in the kitchen because she says she can keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
You don't forget it. So that's one, a slipper orchid. And there are native slipper orchids, Paphiopedilums, that are grown outside. I know, right?
what, in the snow here?
Yeah, in the snow, yeah. There's some fully hardy outdoor orchids, and we might do a show about them later in the year because they are nuts and you can go and see them outside.
Coming up, we will ask some of your questions that you have sent in over to Hester. We've got some more top tips on orchids. It's Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, we're talking orchids this morning. Now, if I want to be inspired, where do I go?
Well, if you're in the Canton Vaud, or nearby in Canton Geneva, you could go to the Orchidarium in Pangin.
Okay.
And it pretty much does what it says on the tin. It's a massive greenhouse.
The Orchidarium.
Full of orchids. Yeah, the orchid. Look on the website, www.orchidarium.ch. They've got an enormous range of Phalaenopsis, Hoyas, loads of others. And they can give you advice on why yours might be a bit poorly, how best practices, how to take care of them. And if you want to move on from a basic moth orchid, I would go there because really the advice is solid.
And as you said earlier, your breath will be taken away.
It is,
with the incredible,
it is lovely.
Beauty.
It's well worth a little outing, actually, I'd say. It's lovely. Elsewhere, if you're in Canton Zurich, there's Meyer orchids who are really the people to go and see in Uster. There are also Amsler orchids in Thurgau and the wonderful Orchidabile in Ticino, who have an enormous selection. We'll put all of these on the website so you can go and have a look at them because they all also have mail order. So if there's something you particularly want and your local one doesn't have it, somebody else will, and they will post within Switzerland.
I will say as well,
which is very nice.
Shilliger have got an excellent selection of orchids, and they have given us one to give away today. If you would like to get into the draw to win a very beautiful but easier care orchid from Shilliger, then all we are going to ask you today is, where would you actually put it?
That's a great question.
And I think we're getting some ideas from you about where it should be put. Somewhere warm, probably.
Yeah. Out of drafts, yes.
Out of drafts, etc.
Away from direct light, yes, all of that.
But they're all so different. I mean, I guess, Ali, we had another orchid that you can put in a very cool room in the winter. And so, therefore, I guess there are
Absolutely.
Lots of different options.
And if you don't want to or can't get to a specialist, go and have a look in a botanic garden. Mm. They've all got huge glasshouses. The one in Geneva is a particularly beautiful structure all by itself. There's ones in Lausanne, there's ones in Freiburg. They're all really very good. Go and have a little wander around on a Sunday afternoon and plunge yourself into a tropical paradise. You won't be sorry.
That's right. I'll just give the WhatsApp if you would like to get into that competition. By the way, if you'd like to win that prize from Shilliger, the orchid from Shilliger, 022 575 3010, just tell us where you would actually put it. Or you can also email studio@worldradio.ch. What about books? I know that you are a big fan of the coffee table book.
I do like a coffee table book. And actually, the one that I've got in front of me probably doesn't count as a coffee table because it fits in my handbag for once. It's called The Happy Orchid by Sarah's Rittershausen. I think this is brilliant. It's so straightforward. The illustrations are really well done. It's a mixture of photography and kind of collage, which is really unusual. And it takes you through how to look after it, the basic different varieties, some little sort of five ways of showing orchids, five good plants for beginners. It's a great gift for somebody who's just getting interested. And I got it a few years ago and I'd already had several other orchid books, which I promptly gave away. And I've kept this one. It is cracking. It's very reasonable, £9 sterling new. Cheaper secondhand, so have a look around. It's published in 2018 and it's published by Dorling Kindersley. It's really excellent.
Okay, another book?
I really like, there's a writer called Jim Endersby who writes on botanical subjects and he's got one called Orchid, a Cultural History, and it's published by the University of Chicago Press in 2016. It's about $30. Don't buy the e-book. By the way, do not buy the ebook. The illustrations don't come up, and the illustrations from the Kew Gardens herbarium are beautiful, so don't get the ebook, get the real thing. It's really funny. So he approaches the subject from kind of cultural, historical point of view. It's hilarious. He writes in a really funny fashion, and he's got a real eye for the odd, weird detail that you'll just be thinking about for days. Think, well, that is very bizarre. It's really fun. I really like that. And if you want a bit of drama, go for The Orchid Thief. It's by Susan Orlean. It's an account of the quite famous, and it was made into a movie, John LaRoche, who was arrested for stealing ghost orchids from a nature reserve in Florida, and the whole shady world of orchid dealers, collectors, and just the unique, weird, glorious oddness that is the state of Florida.
blunt. If this is just the gateway, though, and you're getting very much into your orchid obsession, even, then you can go on to join an orchid society.
Yes, and like any specialist society, they're very nice. They're very welcoming, and new members will be ushered into the room with great fanfare and delight. So if you look, if you're interested in the Suisse Romande, look up Orchidée Romande, O-R-C-H-I-D-E-E-S, Romande, plural, .ch, and they meet regularly in Morges on the last Thursday of every month, and that's the Swiss Orchid Society in Romandie, the SSO Group Romandie. Very active group. Loads of really interesting talks, really nice people, and they also then go off and see orchid shows elsewhere. Brilliant.
I wonder if they get lots of questions that we get, like, here's a photo,
is it dead? Yeah. I bet they do.
I wonder.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Gland and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Question from Laura. Is it a good idea to buy ones without flowers? Now, I like this question because I've seen discounted ones because they're not as beautiful, right?
Yeah.
This is pre-bud. This is when you're just looking at a stumpy leaf.
Yeah. I'd say, yes, I absolutely, particularly if they're discounted. I love a bargain plant. I'm the one that goes through the bargain bins and finds the ones that are a bit squished. So as long as the leaves are healthy and glossy, there's no marks on them, the roots are healthy and glossy, and there's no, they don't look mouldy or yellow or drooping, get it. Absolutely. So then what you need to do when you get it home, if they haven't done it in the store, look where the flowered stem was and cut it back to the next bump down on the stem, and it will reflower in 3 or 4 months. Feed it a bit, it'll be happy as anything. Brilliant.
And it'll be a total surprise what colour it's going to be, what it's going to
look
like.
I love that.
Paula says, what can I do to keep different orchids together on drip day?
On a drip tray. Yes, so it really depends. On a drip tray. So it depends if you have different hybrids of the same species. So if you've got loads of different moth orchids, the Phalaenopsis, or whether you've got moth orchids and dancing ladies or dendrobiums or something, and because they tend to like different things. But moth orchids or all dendrobiums or whatever they are tend to like the same thing. So yes, absolutely, you can put them together. And often you see them planted up into the same large container together with moss or something in between. They look fantastic. Yes, absolutely. If you've got different things, you can put them on their own individual trays.
Right.
Yeah. But I would keep them apart, anything together. But you can also put together plants that like similar conditions. So hardy ferns, that kind of stuff, they look really nice together because then you also have kind of a leaf textural contrast. They look really pretty together.
We've got Keelan who says, I don't have much space on my windowsills or tables. Is it possible to hang orchids up instead? Now, given that quite a few of them like to grow halfway up a tree.
Yes, absolutely. And they're really happy doing that. So you can wrap them up in kokedama, those Japanese moss balls. They're pretty happy. Like, they're often grown like that. Or you can put them in hanging baskets. Or I've seen them, very elaborate macrame or wire constructions. In fact, one species, the Stanhopias, grow upside down because the stems hang down and are intended to be hung up. So, yes, absolutely. I would say also, if you're feeling really brave or adventurous, many epiphytic orchids can be grown on bark. They just need to be wired onto it until they start to stick by themselves. And you can hang them on walls, yeah. They need extra misting to recreate how they would normally be. And actually, Vandas, these incredible purple ones, they can be grown bare-rooted and often are, often suspended in the air in a twine basket or a wire hanger or something like that, and then in a discreet plastic basket. They're really easy, very happy.
One last question for you from Bob. It's off topic, but he says, we lost a big section of our hedge before Christmas. Is now a good time to plant a new one?
I would say if the ground isn't frozen, yes, absolutely. And in fact, actually, for quite a lot of things, you can buy them bare root, which means they're not in a pot or burlap wrapped, and they're much cheaper right now. So yeah, if the ground's not frozen, get them and stick them in, I'd say.
Excellent. I hope this has been helpful for all to start your orchid collection. In fact, I've got your messages coming in for those who would like to get into the draw for the orchid from Schilliger. Isabel says, we're asking, where would you put your orchid if you won today? And Isabel says, I'd keep my orchid in the bedroom with the other ones that I have already.
That's a great answer.
Keep your answers coming in. Where would you put an orchid if you were to win one with us today? We do want to hear from you. You can WhatsApp 022 575 3010. Thanks, Esther.
Thank you.
Sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.